The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
If you're in downtown Alpharetta and you like fresh seafood, go see my buddies Travis and Andy at Chiringa. It's located in City Center. And if you're going to Grayton Beach on 30A for fall break, spring break, or summer break, go see the sister restaurant Chiringa. Have yourself a frosé and tell them Ben Burnett sent you.
This is the Ben Burnett Show, the only show in America that features a one-term has-been retired politician that nobody knows.
Welcome into the Ben Burnett Show. My name is Ben Burnett. My guest tonight, what you don't know, is that it is almost 10 o'clock on Election Eve. My guest today, or this evening, is Sam Lancaster, the Director of Voter Contact for the Heisman Trophy-winning Georgia running back, Herschel Walker. Sam, welcome.
What's going on, Ben?
It is nice to have you take a couple minutes out for all the listeners. People who listen to my show clearly love the game. And if you are interested in politics, tomorrow is a very, very big day in the state of Georgia, or today as the case may be, on release date. Sam, talk about what you've been up to for the last year.
I came on in January and kind of took over the field program and really expanded it throughout the year. I guess a little background on me. I've been doing campaign work since 2014, started out as a field grassroots guy, and slowly evolved into putting polling on my resume and pretty much anything that has to do with voter contact, the data behind that, the methodology that goes into targeting. I'm a big numbers guy, and I love back-end data and using that to kind of focus and target messaging and turnout efforts. And I think that's something the Democrats have been ahead of us on in the past that we have caught them on is using targeted data. So
Sam and I know each other from political campaigns in a more local variety. In fact, I dare take credit for much of the voter contact back in database work and so forth that you've got rolling out now to millions of people. It was awfully interesting to be the man behind the curtain, knowing that a year later, what you are going to be doing with the data and on the scale where people really around the world are paying attention to what you're doing. So to be one of the handful of people who really knows the depth and breadth of what the data tells you is amazing. And I will tell you that there are all kinds of people from all walks of life who say that, I had the Washington Post tell me today, not interested in internal polling data. Had the New York Times tell me today, not really sure we can trust internal polling data. Let me tell you something. I don't trust external polling data. If it comes from the machine, I live, breathe, and die by it. Do you agree or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're trying to cook an internal poll, you're just, you know, doing yourself a disservice. I think those are, you know, what we look at to base pretty much everything we do. You kind of mentioned that you got me started, and I will give you credit. Last year in the municipal cycle elections, I used your clients to test out a new method for text surveys, and we were able to get city council races, I mean, dead on.
We knew how many people were going to vote dead on.
Yeah. I mean, and so I've used that to kind of scale up in a very, very big way in the top Senate race in the country here in Georgia. And I mean, it's given me the confidence to really believe in these numbers.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. Over the over the last couple of days, and I know this just so for the perspective of my listeners, how many people early voted in the state of Georgia, and how many of them were you successfully able to reach out to in a general election?
So I've got right now the early votes. There's 2.29 early votes in person and about 226,000 absentee ballots. And we've been all over these people. I've got pretty much everybody in the state of Georgia modeled into a certain type of universe. And basically the ones that early voted, we knew were going to vote, and we typically know how they vote. And so we have a pretty good idea of where the race is at going into election day, which, as you know, is a great day for Republicans. I kind of have a really good idea of what's still out and what's going to come in. To be pretty accurate, honestly. I mean, just kind of looking at some of the numbers here, I think in Georgia we're going to hit probably 4.6
million
votes. And for reference, we did just under 5 million in 2020, and 2018 was 3.9 million. So we're kind of right in the middle there, which I think is tracking right. And, you know, I kind of know the people that are 100% going to vote tomorrow, and I know pretty much how they're going to vote. So it's just going to kind of come down to those that don't typically vote, but I didn't see that in the early voting, and especially not in the absentees. I think I have a pretty good idea of what's still out there.
So between absentees and early votes, you're right about 2.5 million people. Is that about what you thought it would be on the first day of early voting, or did that overperform what you thought?
Yeah. So it's really weird because you have to kind of throw 2020 out.
Sure.
I mean, just because we have pretty much the exact same amount of absentee ballots cast now as we did in 2018. Whereas in 2020, we had 1.3 million absentee ballots, you know, so we're 1.1 million less absentee ballots. But early voting's kind of stayed tracking to that. So I think you had a lot in 2020 that voted absentee that don't typically vote. And I'm watching them, and they just aren't coming out in person early. So we'll see if they come out tomorrow. I mean, I know who they are, but I don't really see that. So, it's about dead on what I have in that.
So if you had to guess, I mean, and let's not say guess, if you had to say how many people are going to vote in Georgia, I know typically until probably prior to the pandemic, that got to be about where 45% of people would early vote. And there was still like this contingent of people, you know, 55, 60% would vote on the day of. Do you see that trend different in Georgia today? And does it trend differently in a presidential cycle than what we're going to see tomorrow?
So it did in 2020, but dude, we're dead on the percent makeup of early vote absentee and what I think election day is going to be as 2018. I think we're back to pre-pandemic kind of percentages. I think early vote's going to make up about 49%. Absentee is going to make up probably about 6% once the rest of those kind of trickle in tomorrow, but maybe even closer to 5%. And then election day is going to be about 46%, which is what it was in 2018.
Let's talk trends real quick. So it's no question, if you look online, if you look at social media, which typically weights far heavier in organic usage, the blue check marks of Twitter love to let their liberal flag fly. But when you look at the photos over the course of the last week or two at campaign events all over the state, it is clear that your side has a tremendous amount of momentum. I mean, you were at the Governor's Gun Club tonight in Kennesaw. It looked like several hundred people, but you can play games with pictures, but it had to be hundreds and hundreds of people on the night before.
Oh yeah. There's 500 people there. I was there.
When you look at that over the course of the last few weeks, just so everybody knows, voter contact is polling, landline polling, text message polling, you know, and you weight it according to demographics at what percentage of people vote day of, early vote, however that works. And then you weight the poll by, you know, age if you have an 18-year-old who responds to a poll, you know that 18-year-olds don't vote at the same proximity as 65-year-olds vote. Over the course of the last couple of weeks, what really took the wind out of Warnock's sails? And when did you see people make a massive shift to Herschel Walker?
I tell you what, I really started seeing it in my polling about a month ago. I think I even told you that we were going to win without a runoff a month ago. I'm still just as confident in that. But actually being on the ground, like a lot of the polling stuff I do all over the country, you know, I don't really get to see the ground. I just kind of see my numbers and they are what they are. And I have to rely on the consultants in the area to kind of give me a feel of what the ground is. But being here in Georgia, I've lived in Georgia my entire life, seeing about a month ago, just the uptick, I saw it on Governor Kemp's ballot and I saw it on our ballot. We started creating some distance with them and that translated into every event that we had. I mean, I think our worst event had 150 people at it. And so just the amount of crowds that are showing up, and I mean, you hear Herschel Walker speak once, you fall in love with the man. So it's fun to be a part of, to see the excitement. And I mean, just for the past month, it has just constantly grown, to something I've never seen before. And I saw this momentum right before the primary and we got 78% of the vote. And I'm seeing the exact same thing. I mean, you look at Warnock's rally today, and I think there's more media members than there were people. It just, the ground not exist. It doesn't exist, and ours is very strong.
As you guys have looked and pulled, let's take candidates out of it for a second. What are the two or three issues that really drove the decision making process behind the message?
Well, it's first Joe Biden just being a horrible president, and nobody really liking him, and you have somebody that votes with him almost 100% of the time. That's, you know, something you got to get out there. And I mean, inflation is the top issue amongst anybody. I mean, it's consistently the top of every poll that we do. And I mean, it's a direct correlation, you know, over the past 2 years, are you better off? No. And so I think, I mean, you look historically too, midterms are never really great for the party that's in control. I mean, I think back to 2010 after Obama won, and then you had that Tea Party movement and they just wiped the floor in 2010. You know, it's kind of, we have history on our side and we have, you know, bad economy. That's what at the end of the day, people care about, you know.
I've heard it said gas and groceries repeatedly by everybody running up and down the ticket. There's even a governor who's started to say it a little bit. When you look, besides gas, groceries, are you better off than you were 2 years ago? And the answer to that is no for pretty much everybody. As you look tomorrow, what do you think that people should look for? And I'm going to ask you to get specific because I want people to know how good you are, because this is the best commercial you're ever going to have. Give me the numbers for Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams. And I'll point out that you are not the official pollster, but you keep the official pollster honest, number one. And number two, as the guy who does all the voter contact, you know how to not wait polls. You know how to not poison the well. You know how to keep it 100% honest. So when everything closes tomorrow, what percentage do you think Brian Kemp is sitting at when the polls close?
I think he's going to be over 55%. And I'm pretty confident in that number.
How confident are you in that number?
I'm very confident. I mean, I've just, the last 2 weeks, he's been taking off and she's been just sliding. Can't come back from it. And just nothing she's doing is sticking. And I mean, you can kind of see the writing on the wall. She cut her TV buy in half. There's not many events like there were in 2018 where she was firing everybody up and turning people out, and they're not turning out. They're not fired up. And I mean, I've had Brian Kemp around 53, a little higher over the past like month, and just nothing tells me differently, and he's going to outperform that, and I think he definitely gets to 55%.
What's Herschel close now tomorrow?
He'll get close to 51%. I think that's where we're going to be at.
I had this said to me by somebody that sits outside of his campaign that said that he needs Brian Kemp to do 54 with no questions asked, and they still felt good about it.
Yeah, I'd feel good about it if he's at 54, but he's going to be at 55.
But he's going to be at 55. And you think Herschel finishes at 51?
I think that 4%, you know, just kind of comes from being an incumbent, having a record to run on.
Yeah, COVID, Herschel's a first forth
candidate. And so all the articles about the split ticket voter and stuff, that was a big summer thing that I guess people want to write about. But I'm not seeing it in really any polls. I'm kind of seeing that 4% drop, which he's just getting because of his record and incumbency. And I mean, incumbency is the greatest advantage you can have in this game.
All right, we'll go down the ticket. Burt Jones.
I think the rest of the ticket's going to kind of finish right around what Governor Kemp's going to be. You know, the down ticket kind of follows the governor with some drop off in votes.
Yeah, people so quit voting, so each vote matters a little bit more.
Yeah. So I think Burt being the LG will probably get close to Kemp. He'll probably be about 54.
Anything you want people to know as we target, how many text messages did you send out today?
Oh my gosh, an ungodly amount. I apologize to anybody that received them.
Are we talking millions in the state of Georgia?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Like, what do? Do you just like sit there all day with your finger on the enter button?
No. We have a vendor that has call centers that deploys them much more rapidly than I can do it sitting at home.
Well, so and Chip Lake, who's a friend of the show multiple times, Scott and Lorianne, everybody that you guys work with, I tell everybody what you guys have been able to do in the last 4 months is truly amazing. You know, I'm sure there were days where you went to sleep thinking, what in the hell have we gotten ourselves into? How badly have you guys been out fundraised?
A lot.
4, 5, 6 to 1. And like nothing
I think it's probably closer to 8 to 1.
I spent the last 6 months wondering how he's going to win. And I've spent the last 30 days thinking, how in the hell is it even possible that this guy's going to lose? Because he's not. You know, I feel like they tried to shove 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. And people like me who pay a lot of attention, man, I turned it off. Nothing he does has stuck at all. And I wasn't, it was just like, man, it didn't matter what video they put out there. It didn't matter what the allegation was because, and I've been around it enough, like enough of it's true and enough of it's not. But sooner or later, if you just sit there, like I have the aptitude and the capacity to sit there and learn to a great extent. But when you've turned me off as a guy like you who just loves the game, it is telling. Because if you turned me off, you turned everybody else off too. And I have to imagine, when you said it, you know, about 30 days ago, I just saw it turn, you know, take off. That was literally the day I can't listen to it anymore. I'm over it. I'm over the videos. I'm over the, you know, his son who loves him on Father's Day and doesn't love him and is found in New York, you know, picking up Soros money checks. It's just disingenuous. And I give you guys all the credit in the world for what you were able to put together and the cohesive nature, because I know the team that you work with, and I'd tell anybody, I don't care if it's a city council race, I don't care if you're running for U.S. Senate, I would call the four of you to get me into or out of absolutely anything. So it's credit to you, Sam. Good for you, man.
Yeah, well, it's a credit to Herschel Walker, man. He's the hardest working candidate I've ever worked for. He's put in the work, and you know, I think it's telling you, say, you know, you're sick of all the ads. Well, I mean, he spent all of his money on TV, and TV is great. You know, you got to do it, but we've really spent the time in building a ground game. We're organized in all 159 counties. We've got county captains in every single county. We're organized. We've got the turnout effort ready to go that we're going to turn on tomorrow. And you know, Scott and I started out as field guys, and we're always going to be field guys, and we love doing the grunt work that nobody else does. But in my opinion, it's what puts you over the top. And we really put an emphasis on a ground game, and we've stuck to it, and we've just tuned out all the noise and all the media and everything else, and we've done our jobs.
Two questions, and we'll close here. What's his strongest county tomorrow or region of the state? One. And two, how's he going to do in the suburbs?
So I will be looking very closely at Forsyth County. It might not be percentage-wise the strongest one, but as far as the big ones, we're gonna perform very well there. I'm looking a lot at the 14th. Their early votes are kind of down, and I think that's a big group of Election Day voters.
Where is that?
That's northwest Georgia. I'm not good with directions.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Okay. That goes all the way up to Catoosa County, comes all the way down.
Say no more. And gets them.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a big Election Day turnout in all those counties too that are going to be 70-30 us. Forsyth, I think, is going to overperform. And what I look at too, this kind of touches your point with the suburbs, are you kind of have, you know, the Democrat pockets, you know, Augusta, Savannah, Macon, and you look at those counties like Bibb, Chatham, and look at the neighboring counties. I think several people have kind of mentioned this, but you look at the turnout in Bibb County, which is, you know, really, really high Democrats. And then you look at the neighboring county that's high Republicans, and the Republican counties are turning out and the Democrat counties are not.
Yeah.
Look at Clark County versus Oconee County. I mean, all Republicans that say they live in Athens live in Oconee County. there's no Republicans in Clark, but Clark is just underperforming what they need to be, and Oconee is just overperforming where they need to be. So you look at stuff like that, and it just, that translates into the momentum that we're seeing on all the polling and everything. I mean, it's just I think Republicans are going to be in for a very fun night tomorrow night.
Well, I've watched in Alpharetta them vote for Stacey Abrams and then vote for Joe Biden. And I said it a couple weeks ago, to the tune that Forsyth is strong, you go 5 miles to the south, you're in Alpharetta, which is a lot more 50-50. And I think that's, mm-hmm. I think it's the election that turns it back. So I think the long-term strategy for the Republican Party is the closer you can get to the city of Atlanta and start making it look competitive, the better off it. The party is going to be as a whole, because there's just such a concentration of density up here. Sam Lancaster, the VP of Battleground Connect and the Director of Voter Contact for the Herschel Walker campaign.
Ben, I appreciate it, man.
See you soon, buddy.
When it comes to building your business, no one knows it quite like you, but taking the next step to innovate it, grow it, expand it, that takes a special kind of know-how. The First Horizon Commercial Banking team in Atlanta brings a depth of experience and insights that builds on the bank's deep balance sheet capabilities. So you don't have to choose between building a bank that knows how to optimize your growth strategies and one that is fully equipped to help you execute every part of them. Visit firsthorizon.com to find a banker near you.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.